Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here today with my executive producer, Michael Gamblin, and we're going to do a show on questions listeners ask about the holidays. You know, during the holiday, families come together without the buffer of work or other responsibilities, and family issues can become very apparent. So here we go. Give me the first question.
I homeschool my three children. My husband works outside of the home, except on the holidays. The problem is when he comes home, he wants to take over and totally disrupts our homeschool scheduling.
You know, this question, I just had to smile at this question because in every relationship, you have that abstract, sequential, or random, you know, whatever mixture it is. And then the spouse is usually the opposite. Concrete sequential or concrete random, however the mixture goes, is usually the opposite. So if you are a concrete sequential, it is going to bother you so much when your abstract random husband comes home and wants to do all kinds of creative things maybe with your children or wants to be involved. And I would like for you to step back and say, you know, I'm going to embrace this. My husband is home and now he wants to take over. Let him take over. Give yourself a vacation. It's a wonderful thing that he wants to take over, even if it does disrupt.
So you're going to say, just make him your substitute teacher for that day and let him do it.
Yeah, just let him do it. Let him have fun. He might...
Well, it may cause him to shut his mouth next time because he realizes how difficult it is.
Well, this is the thing. When you let someone, even when I have substitute teachers, I always tell them, this is my plan for the day, but you're welcome to do whatever you want to do, because they bring to the table a new personality that the children can interact with, a new perspective, and these are all good things. So if your husband comes home and he wants to be involved, you need to embrace it and thank the Lord that he does, because it gives you a break. It gives a whole dimension for the kids to have someone new. And if he doesn't want to do what you've planned, go with it. The kids are always learning. They're learning from both of you how to interact with each other, how to get along. And you know the saying, when mama's happy, everyone's happy. But when mama and daddy are happy, that's really a blessing to a family.
There's also different teaching styles too. So it's not bad to introduce your children to a different style of teaching too, even if the husband wants to take over, you know, which is a different style of teaching.
Yeah, and a father who loves his children will want to be involved. He doesn't want to come home and do nothing. He's looked forward to this vacation and this time. I think it's perfectly appropriate to set aside your homeschool schedule altogether and just do some family things.
Well, now here's a exciting and a scary one. We want to take an extended vacation in a country overseas. This will mess up our homeschool scheduling. I am not looking forward to taking all those books with us. We will be gone for a month.
You know, from my perspective, don't take any books. It is such a rich experience to be able to go to a country overseas. But prior to going to the country overseas, you might start looking at videos about that country and doing some serious research on that country as part of your homeschooling agenda.
Well, part of the homeschooling agenda is to take field trips. So this is just a very extended field trip.
It is an extended field trip, and your students, your children will learn so much. What a privilege. Most families don't have the privilege of going overseas for a whole month.
You were gone to Spain for a while there, and when you came back, you kept telling me everything you've learned. There's no way that you could have gotten that same excitement out of a book reading about it. So, yes, that is true.
Yeah, and some of the things that I regret about my Spain trip is that it came on the heels of so many things I was doing at school that I didn't have time to research it and really look at where I was going. They had given me the list of places I was going ahead of time, and my desire was to, you know, research it. Didn't get to do that. So I went there, and now I've been researching it and learning more about where I went after the fact. But, you know, either way, you have learning opportunities prior to going, and then when you come back and you're thinking about it again and reminiscing, you have another learning opportunity.
Part of your homeschool curriculums is language. It doesn't have to always be the English language or whatever country you're from. Because I remember you talking about going over there and trying to figure out some of the Spanish that you had forgotten.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got stuck in a situation, got totally lost, and I needed to get back to my hotel. And so I could remember, ¿dónde está? Like, where is? ¿Dónde está el hotel? And it was, you know, surely with a terrible American accent, but I got back. You know, I was able to get back to where I needed to go. And my niece was with me laughing at my terrible accent, but she was too shy to use her better accent to ask the question. So, you know, it does. It puts you in a situation where you have to use some of the things that you didn't know you could use.
So a field trip like that can be a learning experience even if you don't take your books with you.
It is a learning experience from the moment you are packing up. You're learning to organize things and be efficient with space and weight, because there's weight involved. And then when you get on the airplane, aerodynamics, I mean, there's so many STEM lessons just with airplanes. You know, your children should learn the parts of, name all the parts of the airplane. And then when they get in the airplane and they're flying, they know about that. And then the different stratosphere, they see all these different cloud formations. How interesting is that? There's just so many things.
You're seeing it up close and personal.
Yeah,
too.
you're just beginning your trip. You haven't even gotten to those wonderful places that have so much history compared to the United States. We're just a very young, immature country.
Well, here's another good question for you. What are some of the simple things I can do to help learning continue through these holidays? And there, you get the whole list of holidays, all 12 of them here. We'll just pick a few of them. New Year's, January.
Well, of course, I do like to do planning. I like to have students write their year plan and maybe their five-year plan if they're older, because it's interesting to make those plans and then to look back and see how much of your plan you were able to accomplish.
Well, that just brought up a new thought here. How much planning do you let the kids do as you, you know, as you make your plans for the year? How much involvement do you want from the kids?
Human beings need to be involved in the choices of their lives. God gave us the power of choice. We need to give our children as much choice as possible. So having them help you make your lesson plans for the year or the rest of the year is a great tool for getting their buy-in to accomplish the plans. So that's my opinion. I'm sticking to it.
Oh, now I know you do a lot for this one, President's Day in February.
Yeah, we have George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, and they are two great presidents. You can tie in so much history with both of them. You can tie in, you know, morality and honesty. Both men have that. I know that the revisionists have tried to rewrite history to make them look less than they were, but there's a lot of good history that can be applied there. And you can, if you're anywhere where you can go to, you know, some of the Civil War sites, that the Civil War really causes a person to pause. So you have a George Washington who was involved with the Revolutionary War, and you have Abraham Lincoln who was involved with the Civil War. So you have the two wars that have been on our continent. You can make really good lesson plans around that.
Well, another one is one of my favorites is Easter.
Yeah, and Easter, you know, gets a lot of bad rap because, like with any of the holidays, you can look at the pagan side or the pagan influence on it, or you can look at the Christian influence on it. Every single holiday almost has both elements involved with it. I choose to look at a time to reflect on the gift again that God gave us in His Son and the resurrection. And I would hope that you would too, if you're listening to this show, be inclined that Jesus is the whole reason for every season. And with that being said, we need to take a break here. We are doing a show on questions that listeners have asked, and we've been kind of going through some of the holidays of the year. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. Don't go away.
The soldiers are coming. Hush, baby Moses, hush. They'll hear you. Don't cry, please, baby Moses, don't cry. Baby Moses, I think they're gone.
Baby Moses, an I Can Read book for beginning readers. Check us out at
mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books from different guests that I've had on the show and different topics that I've done. I also have some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783.
Welcome back. I'm Michael Gamblin, executive producer of MRG Media Ministries, and I'm here with my lovely host, Dr. Rose Gamblin, and my wife, in case you're wondering. Okay, we're talking about the different seasons or the different holidays and what you can do in those holidays. I always enjoyed Mother's Day in May, Father's Day in June, to honor my parents. And what's some of the things you can do for those?
Yeah, and when you're homeschooling, it's really hard for you to tell your children, oh, make me a Mother's Day card, or make, you know, it might be easier to make something for Daddy, but it's hard. I'm here to say that you still need to do that, because that's how they learn to be considerate. And if you can put a bug in your husband's ear and say, have them make me something for Mother's Day, or, you know, make a present, that is important. And I've seen mothers who thought it was, you know, a humble thing not to have their children even worry about Mother's Day. But when the children then went to church and everyone was talking about what they'd made their mother, or given their mother, or done with their mother, those children really felt bad, because I think children want a time to honor their mothers. Of course, they need to honor them every day, but they really want that special time. Hey, Mom, you are the love of my life. And I think it's important to make that part of your educational curriculum if you are homeschooling.
A few years back, I've got Rose involved in, she blames me for it at least, into puppets. And we have a puppet stage, and I have probably, 40 or 50 puppets now. So we can do all kinds of things. But to me, that's a very good way of doing activities for some of these different holidays. Put on a little puppet show. You can make your own puppets. You can make your own stage. And Rose actually writes the lines for a lot of our puppet shows. We just completed one here not too long ago on New Start, correct?
Yes.
And it's on...
The Eight Healthy Habits.
Eight Healthy Habits. And the kids loved it. Loved it.
Yeah, especially those that were watching it. You know, it just...
Well, let's put it this way. The pastor actually got down on the floor with the other kids in the neighborhood, and some of the other parents too, and sat there in front of the stage and watched this puppet show going on. And I put music with it and everything. Actually, what I recorded the whole thing ahead of time. And then we just played it back, and the kids did concentrate on doing the puppets part. But they loved it. They've made some of their own puppets. They made sticks on them so the hands move. We've got some special characters, too, that we've made in the process.
Yes, and anytime you can take, I believe that all learning should be shared. So when something, when one, maybe an older child is doing something, the one way to share it is to do a little play or skit, and you can even just have them act it out, so that the sharing of information goes back and forth, and it really reinforces what the kids want to do with the puppet show. And we'll talk about this more in another show. The whole idea is to teach the students the eight healthy habits, but they taught it in a sharing way. So they learned these scripts very well, and then they shared the scripts with others. So they took the information and they memorized it and internalized it and then shared it with others. So all of these holidays that we're talking about, you could make a skit.
Well, yeah, because you got 12 of them or more listed here. But what is your favorite holiday that you like to do?
My favorite is Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving, you know, they say it's truly American, but it's, you know, Canadian. It has a lot of other trappings with it, not just American. But always being thankful. You know, there's something about a grateful heart adds to the health of your body. When you are grateful about things, it creates certain endorphins. And the thankfulness that we have, you know, is celebrated. We should always have a spirit of thankfulness. But Thanksgiving, we talk about Indians and pilgrims, and we have a big feast. We invite the church members. We do a play. We do a lot of things at Thanksgiving.
Well, that brings us to our next question. My extended family gets together for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Unfortunately, my grown children and their spouses don't get along. Fortunately, their children, my grandchildren, love each other and play nicely. It really hurts me that my grown children have such hard feelings between them. My grown children are in their 30s. Any help with this would be appreciated.
Well, of course, I don't know what's causing the hard feelings among your grown children, but I would suspect that there has been a family crisis in the past, either a death or a divorce, and grown children carry that baggage. Usually, the hard feelings could be directed toward you, but instead they've chosen to direct them towards each other. And since they're grown, you have to kind of back into adult learning theory, which is you can't boss them around like you can when they were little kids. They're grown. And it's a matter of prayer. It's a matter of maybe talking to each one of them separately. You want to make sure that you don't become a referee for their disagreements. So if the disagreements start during the holiday, you need to find a reason. Go down and play with the grandkids. Go outside for a walk, but just don't entertain their disagreement. And it might go on for years, and you just make sure that you don't involve yourself. You don't
take sides.
Yes,
what you're
you cannot take sides. And pray. I mean, prayer is sometimes the only answer for situations like this, because They are adults now. You do not know all the extenuating feelings and perceptions. Their perception is their reality. As you know, as much as it might not make sense to you, it's their reality. So I'm sorry you're having to go through this, but stay the course. Be loving and kind. Continue to invite everybody over. It's so easy to sink into the pattern of having one family and then the next family, but when you do that, you're robbing the younger children, your grandchildren, of developing relationships with each other. So stay the course, pray, and I wish the best for you.
I'm newly married, and my husband wants to go to Canada to spend time with his parents during the Christmas holidays. I'm so upset about this. I've never been away from home, and I think it would just kill my mother if she thought I would not be there for Christmas. What should I do?
Well, the fact that you're newly married means that you and your husband haven't fully discussed or vetted some of these issues that arise with many newly married couples. And it's time to sit down and explain to your husband. Maybe his mother would be just as upset if he wasn't there for Christmas. And I'm here to tell you that if you can't resolve it this first Christmas, it's appropriate for you to spend Christmas with your family and he to spend Christmas with his family. I know other counselors might not give that same advice, but it gives you time to work out some of these difficult, high emotional times. Holidays are very high emotional.
I know with us, we discussed this, and we would alternate sometimes, like Thanksgiving was with one parent, Christmas was the other, and then we switch it around so both of them can share into it. And unfortunately, I feel that the parents have to be understanding as well, too, because it is the problem that they're dealing with.
Yes, you have, and it's nice if you come up with a solution. I know at first, when we were first married, it was important for my family that we come on Thanksgiving. That had been such a big, big deal. And then, so what we would do at Christmas, we'd go to my family at Thanksgiving. Then at Christmas, we would also go to my family, but we'd try to take a week or two and go to your family and spend, Christmas on a different day. Doesn't have to be that exact day. You can have two Thanksgivings and you can have two Christmases. It doesn't have to be the exact time. So I wish you the very best, and just share what we've talked about here for next year. Maybe by next year it probably won't even be an issue, but I'll tell you, when little grandbabies come along, it resurfaces.
Oh yes, I'm sure. Do we have time for another one, or are we about out of time?
We are about out of time, and I just would like to leave the thought that the Lord builds our home. Except the Lord build our home, we labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord build our marriage, we labor in vain to build it. And praying, having that close relationship with God, will help you solve so many problems. And with that, we say,
God bless. You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.